What we, whoa, here we are who we are. I'll say a little tiny prayer. Thank you, Steve. Yeah, that wasn't very well represented. You're right in the thing about family worship, that it's the dads before God, mainly a father's responsibility. Heavenly Father, we pray that you will bless us this morning as we look at your word and make it real and alive to us, grow us, in Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so we went through the whole person so far, talking about our kids and, you know, trying to raise them up to know and love God with all their heart, all their soul, all their mind, all their physical, bodily strength. And we talked about our responsibilities to nurture them in each of those areas. And just wrapped up the most important one of those, and that is nurturing their souls. But the more we look into the picture that the Bible paints of raising our kids and what our parental job is, it becomes more and more obvious that really our most important role of all is prayer. We are utterly cast upon God when it comes to nurturing our children. In each one of these areas, every one of them is overwhelming, okay, spiritually, intellectually, emotionally, physically. And so the most important thing that we can do, our most important job as parents, is to pray. And that, you know, prayer is an incredible and amazing privilege that God has granted us an audience with, the maker and all-powerful God of the universe, who, you know, really is going to listen, really is going to respond, a very amazing thing that we have. And I had kind of an epiphany one time about 20 years ago when our oldest son, Jesse, was about ready to go away to college. So the first of our, we've launched seven, kicked seven of them off into outer space so far. and Jesse was the first, and so it's always a big deal, your first one that's leaving your home. And we were still in Taiwan, and Jesse was going to go to Geneva College in the States, so we were going to be really far away. It was a very, very thoughtful time for me as a mom. And so I had this realization one day, and it was very, very embarrassing. It's a little bit difficult to share it with you. Even now, I feel embarrassed about it. But I discovered this little lurking thought that was that needed rooting out of my own heart and mind during this time. And I realized that I had sort of perceived Jesse as my oldest kid like a big, giant project, you know, some kind of a masterpiece of art that I was working on for those 18 years of his life, and like I was producing something. And it's very laughable now, you know, thinking back, but, you know, as I was meditating on sending him out and getting him ready to leave home, he was a really wonderful kid, we were very blessed, you know, to have a son like Jesse, tons of wonderful qualities, a lot to be thankful for, a great blessing as the oldest of a bunch of other little kids in the family. But But as I looked at him, at his mom, I thought, well, I'm not quite done. He's not perfect yet, you know? He still has this little flaw and that little flaw and this little problem. And, you know, it's like, yeah, he's a really good kid, but I'm not really finished. And so I was very aware of those things, and I still had plans and was meditating and, you know, how can I chisel away at this and do that? And I sort of was having this little emotional panic attack, like Michelangelo, you know, being forced to reveal the Sistine Chapel ceiling before he was really finished and it was perfected or something. And I found myself thinking something like, I can't let him leave home yet. He's not perfect, you know. I'm not done. And, you know, as soon as I articulated that thought in my own brain, I immediately, you know, recognized the foolishness of it, and I literally laughed at myself and laughed until tears came, you know, because it's such a foolish concept to have. We are our job as parents, in a sense, our input, it's very much like a little toddler who wants to help you do something, okay, in the kitchen for moms or a dad, you know, working on a project, you know, they're going to be a really big help, okay, to you in doing this project. And you know, for us, we can scarcely even comprehend, you know, what raising a whole child is like. We can scarcely wrap our mind around it in its totality, you know. So to, you know, for me to have thought of Jesse as my great project that I was working on and I couldn't let him go till he was perfect is just, you know, it was something that needed to be rooted out. And thankfully, God let me see the stupidity of what I was thinking at that time. And it's a, you know, it's a really good thing for Jesse and for our other 8 children that God has richly blessed us with, you know, that our kids are not my project or our project, that they are God's project. And we're not, becoming perfect in Christ is a lifelong process, obviously, for all of us. None of us have reached perfection quite yet. It's mysterious and wonderful that it really is happening. And that one day we are going to be perfect in Christ, and we can take great comfort in this, both for ourselves and as we look at our children's lives, that there's truth, that God is doing this great and amazing thing in us. But the point is that our children are God's projects. They're not our project. It's not even like, okay, we got to pray because we need God's help in our task. It's quite the other way around, okay? The job, the task, the whole thing is God's doing, okay? He is the artist. And he very kindly, like a loving parent, kind of lets us in like we might let a toddler come help us make our dinner, okay? It might take us a little longer, and we might have more of a mess to clean up, okay, when we're done with our toddler helping, but we kindly nurture them along by allowing them to help. And there's a sort of an analogy here, I think, in our parenting, okay? God does give us a role. We've been talking about that role for weeks now. But the really underlying reality is that this God is at work, and this is something we can take great, you know, find great comfort and peace in. He is at work making our kids into his own likeness, into the likeness of Christ, as Paul expresses it in Romans 8:29. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son. Or like Isaiah says in Isaiah 64:8, yet, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay. You are the potter. We are all the work of your hand. And so God is the potter at work on us and on our children after us, and we're the clay. So the kind of attitude we need as we're raising our kids and when we get to the point where we're launching them off into life, And it's not anything like that thought that I had at that time, you know, wait, stop, I'm not done yet, okay? It's something like this from Philippians, what I should have been thinking and saying to Jesse as he prepared to leave our home as a young man is the kind of thing that Paul said to his spiritual children in Philippians. Therefore, my dear Jesse, as you have always obeyed, not only in our presence, but now much more in our absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. And so for all the things we've been saying all these weeks, they're true. They are things we need to be conscious of and working on in each of these areas of our lives, nurturing our kids in their whole person to, you know, to contribute in our way. But the overall sense here, and we should live in the knowledge of it and rest in the knowledge, is that God is at work making our kids who they are to be. Our children are his creation and their new creation, and he's going to complete in them the good work. As Paul said in Philippians 1:6, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Now, when we recognize, you know, this really wonderful and important truth that our kids are not our projects, okay? They're God's. He made them. He's making them who he wants them to be. But it helps to drive home to us the importance of prayer, okay? If they are God's projects, if they're not really ours, okay? The most important thing we can do for our children is to be on our knees before God, you know, begging him, pleading with him to keep the promises that he has made, that he will carry on this good work in them, and that he has begun, and bring it to completion. So we cry out to him, and we're completely cast on him. Everything, even for our little toddler-like role that we have during, you know, the first 18, 20 years of life, of their lives, okay? He needs to give us the understanding. He needs to show us what the needs are. He needs to give us the wisdom, the strength, the patience, the grace to be the instrument to do all the things that we have been talking about over the past few weeks. And we have just that little bit of time in our lives. As I'm an old lady now, I can look back with that kind of perspective. You don't see it as much when you're in the middle of a whole lot of little kids, but it really is a very short period of time, and then they're adults, okay? And you have another beautiful part of parenting to look forward, a beautiful relationship where you're brother and sister in Christ and have a lot to enjoy. But we are God's instrument in our children's lives and utterly dependent upon him every single moment as he is doing his work in their lives. But we, you know, we will always have this praying relationship. And I don't see as many older moms in here this morning as there sometimes have been. But when your kids are grown, there's a lot there's a lot of praying that goes on when you have kids and grandkids, okay? And that part of your life as a parent is there from, you know, from conception until you die, okay? You're always a parent. And so it's prayer is the permanent part of parenting, okay? Other parts of it are going to fade and change, and, you know, some will completely disappear, okay? But the prayer part is always the most important thing we can do for our kids, and it's always going to be there. And so in a sense, we can say, I think parenting is mainly praying, okay? And God is so gracious. He's very, very lavish in his promises to parents in the Word. He wants us to be people with hope and not despairing about our kids, to have hope and joy. He definitely understands, okay? He's had his parental pains for sure, okay? He had to lay down his life to fix the problems his kids created and to right the wrongs. And he understands our problems, our struggles, our pains and concerns. And he fills up his word with promises regarding his intention to bless the children of his children. And I want to just read some sample promises. These are promises that, you know, as we're praying, we can claim. And there's lots more. This is just a taste this morning. Psalm 112, 1 and 2 says, "Praise the Lord. Blessed are those who fear the Lord, who find great delight in his commands. Their children will be mighty in the land. The generation of the upright will be blessed." Deuteronomy 12:28, "Be careful to obey all these regulations I am giving you, so that it may always go well with you and your children after you, because you will be doing what is good and right in the eyes of the Lord your God." Genesis 18:19, "For I have chosen him so that he will direct his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing what is right and just, so that the Lord will bring about for Abraham what he has promised him." Exodus 20:6, "Showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments." Isaiah 54:13, "All your children will be taught by the Lord, and great will be their peace." Psalm 103:17-18, "But from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him, and his righteousness with their children's children, with those who keep his covenant and remember to obey his precepts." And so the word, and you can, you know, make a study if you need that kind of comfort and encouragement, you know, as you're reading through your Bible and your devotions. Keep a journal of all the promises that God makes to parents. There really are a lot, and it is very encouraging. We can see just from this sample how lavish and how much hope he wants us to have. But we can also notice in all of these examples that I read, there were conditions. I can't believe I did it. I'm going to finish today for the first time, I think. Maybe I can go back and pick up old things. But there are conditions here in all of these promises, and it's important part, and we're going to be looking at this the week after next in more detail. But each one of these promises, Psalm 112, "Blessed are those who fear the Lord and find great delight in his commands." Okay, that's the condition for the promise of their children being mighty and blessed. Okay, mighty in the land. Deuteronomy 12, it's "Be careful to obey all the regulations, okay, that I am giving you, and then it's going to go well with your children." Okay, Genesis 18, talking about Abraham, it's as he directs his children and his household in the keeping the way of the Lord. And Exodus 20, God is showing love to thousands of generations, but it's to those who love me and keep my commands. And Psalm 103, with those, God's love is going to be with and his righteousness with the children's children, but it's to those who keep his covenant and remember to obey his precepts. And this will tie into the way that we wrap up our Raising a Whole Child, a study the week after next, when we look at the fact that our parenting really isn't about our kids, it's about us, okay? And I believe this is very, very important and very biblical. You know, it's if we're concerned about raising whole children, if we're concerned about our kids growing up to be happy and joyful and healthy and cared for in every way, you know, it's about looking, examining our own hearts and our own lives. And, you know, I don't want to get ahead of what I'm going to say, but we become good parents by being good children, basically, by being good children of God's, ourselves, and that is the very bottom line. And so, but God's word is full of promises, and our main job is talking to God, crying out to Him to keep these promises, to complete the good work, to be the potter in our children's lives, to make them who He wants them to be, and keeping, you know, paying attention to the conditions in these promises. Not that we earn this; it's still all God's grace. Okay, but it is the way that God works things out. So we need to pray not only for our kids, but for ourselves, that God will complete the good work that He's begun in us, that we will fear Him, we will obey Him, we will delight in His commands, and, you know, that our doing so is a condition for God keeping all of these promises. And so the more we put these pieces of the picture of parenting together in the Bible, we're going to see that what we want to do is get down on our knees and pray and spend that time praying. And next week, we're actually going to devote another week to talking about praying for our kids. I'm half tempted to just do that right now. I can't believe I was so concerned to finish for once that I cut this back really, really short, and I'm really done with what I have to say right now. But I missed a lot of things during this whole course. I'm half tempted to cram in part of next week's right now so that I can decide what I missed that I could go back to, being very honest here. But next week we will be looking at it's a way of praying that has blessed me a lot. It's not any great miracle formula or something, or it's not even I think it's scriptural, but it's not something demanded by scripture. It's just an idea that has blessed me a lot, and it's based upon this whole idea of that we've been talking about, that raising our kids means being aware of all the parts of who they are before God, what makes us human beings, you know, and paying attention to their intellect, their emotions, their physical needs, and the needs of their souls. And so it's praying basically very specifically for each one of our children in each of these areas, in a way that makes us very mindful. And for me, it's helped. It's been like a very pragmatic thing. It's often when I'm praying about one of these specific needs and areas in my kids' life, that God gives me the idea for how to break through whatever the difficulty or the struggle is. He often uses us to answer the prayers that we're praying. And so that is one thing that I would like to do next week with you, is just share that little plan and have you actually work on thinking about that if you're here together as couples, even looking at each of your kids wherever they are in their ages and stages of life, and coming up with specific Bible verses that you're praying for them and specific needs in each one of those areas. But I think I'm just going to go back a minute now. I'm done. Does anybody have
questions?
All right. Does anybody have questions? Today's not very hard. There's probably not many questions about this, but comments or things you would want to share from your experience with this, or questions back from last week that didn't get asked. Anything? This is funny.
The only
yes.
thing I can say is don't feel bad, because everybody goes through that with their kids.
Yeah. Yeah, we sure all do. thank you. One section that this is a first for me to finish something. Oh, yeah.
Just, do you have any practical stories or things that work for you and your husband in establishing a prayer pattern for your children? Like, how did you do it? Just in the context of a given week, did you have a day set aside, or did it just kind of, was there a time when you felt like you needed to pray because of circumstances for your kids, or was there some pattern that you established?
Steve,
if you mind, share.
No, we could probably say several things, and Steve, you can definitely have things to say to that too, but I mean, obviously, in the course of meeting with God daily and, you know, quiet time, devotions, whatever you call it, I mean, we all, I assume, would, one of the main things that we do every day would be to pray for every one of our kids. And certainly when, you know, I mean, there's all kinds of times that come up in kids' lives that drive us to our knees with more urgency. I mean, when they're, you know, at the age and stage of, you know, meeting someone who might be their spouse for the rest of their life, when they're, whatever, taking an SAT, when they're, you know, when they're trying to be toilet trained. I'm trying to think back a little further. There's lots of things to pray about at every stage. Steve and I have a habit of, I probably get in on Steve's about annually, but Steve has a quarterly day of prayer, and we often will spend part of that time together. We set aside a whole day for prayer, and we will join each other and we'll pray through all nine of our kids in great detail, and now their spouses and our grandchildren too. And it's a very time-consuming process when you have a large family. We had a story once. We had some really good friends. This was back when we lived in Pennsylvania for a couple of years, and we were doing this Rivendell Study Center thing and going around to these homeschool conferences, and this couple, also a mother and father of a large family, went with us to help us at this conference. And we shared a hotel room with this couple one night, and we decided to pray together for all of our children, all eight of theirs and all, you know, how many we had at that time, seven maybe. And they had a bed on one side of the room, and we met on the other, and we prayed and prayed. We got so tired, we got in our beds and kept praying. I think we all literally fell asleep doing that. But anyway, it's a very lovely thing to do together as a couple, to set aside regular periods of time to pray through the lives of all your kids. But, you know, what we're going to talk about next week is my way of praying for my kids, you know, on these little cards with covering each of their, you know, looking at their lives, you know, intellectually, where are they? Maybe this one's struggling to learn to read, or this one's, you know, trying to get into med school, or this one's, you know, all where they are intellectually, where they are emotionally, maybe they're, you know, you know, got lots of acne and really troubled with their acne, or maybe this one won't get toilet trained. I mean, physical, you know, emotional, intellectual, looking at where they are right now and praying very specifically, you know, for each of them. And I usually pick a Bible verse for, you know, and I probably about annually where, you know, that I would be praying for each. I don't know how many of you have read The Praying Life. Paul Miller, give a plug for his book in here if you haven't read it. It is definitely worth reading. Very excellent book on prayer, and would be very helpful in praying for kids too. Did you read that? No? It's really good. Steve, you have...
I would just add that, you know, I think that Faye, her prayers are a lot more detailed, partly just being a mom, I mean, in terms of like breaking it into the four areas. And I over the years I hit the main things, you know, that were pretty obvious in different categories, but I did pray very regularly and very faithfully, but just as a part of my devotions, you know, in the morning. But the I think that Faye's prayers are more detailed, but maybe partly for that reason, she wouldn't necessarily pray through all of those things every day. You know what I mean? It would kind of ebb and flow with her, you know, with her devotional life. But so I pray, you know, the big things, but very regularly. You know.
Did that get at what you?
Thank you.
Okay. Are there any other questions that are still out there from past weeks? I feel really badly about the whole section on, you know, I skipped when we got to the, very conveniently for me, the thing that was most difficult to talk about as we were doing the part of nurturing our kids physically, and the hard things to talk about. I mean, communicating to our kids about sexuality and purity. And I didn't feel too bad because Francis had just recently done a really wonderful whole Sunday school class on, you know, a Christian understanding of sexuality. And, you know, he covered everything really well, including communicating with kids. But I did have things there that I feel badly that I didn't share. If anybody is really struggling in that particular area in your lives and would like some ideas or resources or something, I'd be happy to share that. But, well, if there aren't any other questions, I'm going to just slip back for a minute to the end of the talk on nurturing the kids spiritually, for a couple more minutes here, some things that we left out, I think the workshop that we did for those of you that were here on that, I think God blessed in the sense of bringing up some really good, helpful things in that conversation. I like, you know, typically, when someone asks what are the greatest problems or challenges that you have, you know, the classic answer to that is time, okay? Because it's a really big problem to so organize your life. You know, it takes a real commitment to that as a priority to set up your life so that can happen, and that is a really big problem. But the real profound answer is sin. And I was happy that came up very honestly. You know, it's the sin of us not being so close to God that we, you know, that we want to do that. It's the sin of a husband and wife having a hard time getting along with each other, and it's no fun having family worship if a husband and wife are mad at each other, okay? And you know, the sin of, it just, the reality of sin is what tangles up everything in our lives, and it certainly is what tangles up a really wholesome and rich and wonderful family worship, because you have to make things right with each other in order to really enjoy that. But that's a good thing, and it's a very it's very worthwhile to actually have something that forces you to do that, because otherwise you might delay making things right with each other or working on problems. And so to have a little daily something that pushes you in that direction and sets things to right is a good thing. It's not a bad thing. It's a little bit hard sometimes, but it's very good. I will go back. I think when we're talking about the different kind of tools for nurturing our kids spiritually, if I'm remembering right, we got up to just the family worship, and I was cut off. Does anybody remember that? Probably not. But I did have some other tools, and so I'll just go back to them now since I do have this time. So the family worship, which we talked about a lot and had the discussion on, is, you know, one of the main tools. But another one is Bible memory. And I would, you know, given our understanding as the Word of God, as what, you know, communicates who God is and, you know, what the gospel is all about, it's what's alive and what changes us. Obviously, it's so, so critical. And our kids are really good at memorizing, little kids. It's such a rich and spongy time in their life, you know, to take advantage of that. It gets so much harder as we get older and, you know, as adults. And now I'm in my 60s, and it's really hard to keep working on Bible memory. But, you know, to take advantage of that for our kids, all kinds of Bible memory, even for little kids that can't read, memorizing together as a family, you know, sitting down, pick out some of your favorite chapters in the Bible and put them together in a little notebook and have it be your family Bible memory. And you know, you can memorize an awful lot in just a small, consistent amount of time. And obviously, working in terms of memory, it's not the Bible, but catechism. It's so helpful. It's a tool that goes way back in church history. But to take the catechism and do that, it's a way for, particularly, you know, Steve has done this with all 9 of our kids, you know. Although you did the children's and the shorter catechism with everybody. And, you know, even when Isaac went away to college, he wasn't quite finished, and he said, "Dad, I want to keep working on this every time I come home on break until I'm done," you know. And that was his own request. He wanted to wrap it up and finish it, and he ended up teaching catechism to the kids in his church where he, you know, where he went to college. But it's a really... But it's really good, and obviously it's systematic. I mean, it takes you through everything, and they've broken it down so nicely onto a children's level and a shorter level, and it's a chance for a dad, or if needs be, a mom, okay, to go through really clearly all of the doctrines and basic faith. And, you know, as you teach it, you explain it very naturally. What does that mean? You know, what's that word? And you know, so you're able to talk through. And by the time they're done with this, you have shared the Christian faith very, very strongly, okay? A very, very firm foundation with the kids. It's a really wonderful tool. It sounds old-fashioned, okay, to catechize your children, like you're, you know, but it's a very, very wholesome and helpful tool. Highly recommended. Go. Yep. And then, you know, yeah.
Hey, I just wanted to echo what you guys are saying about catechism. You know, I mentioned this in the family worship. Shelly and I didn't grow up in a church to catechize. I didn't even grow up in a church. I have found as an adult trying to do it with my young children, and then, of course, if you're
Right.
As you're teaching your children.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. Laura. Yeah, nice.
So, and it's all free online, and it's been really helpful. Just what is sanctification, what is justification, and those things that are banned on the theater. And the questions the kids ask, like, we're talking about so much more than you would have. And it's just kind of an easy way to talk in the CD, and it just it creates a rich discussion. And it helps me memorize.
Yeah.
And
yeah, good. Thanks. That's Songs for Saplings, right? Yeah, that's really good. Yeah.
I'll throw one more in there. I don't know if you've heard of the New City Catechism by Tim Keller.
Yeah.
Little video excerpts that add to the understanding we found helpful.
Cool. Yeah, great. Is that on their website? Is that?
It's free online. Just New City Catechism.
Okay. Great.
And it's based, I think it's based on the Westminster, but it's not as detailed, so it's kind of more for a family discussion.
Uh-huh. Oh, that's neat. Yeah. So we are so blessed with so many rich and wonderful tools. You know, another besides the memory of the Bible itself, okay, and the memory of catechism or catechism-like systematic study with your kids, just... taking, you know, what you're gleaning, you know, from your own devotions and things that you're excited about, you know, as you're reading. It's very wonderful. You can even do it systematically or just spontaneously sharing with your kids. A lot of things that I have, you know, ended up getting really excited about in my own life have been stuff that I've, you know, been reading in the Bible myself, get excited about, and try to pull it together in a way to share with my kids and end up, you know, sharing it with them and getting, you know, even more excited about it. You know, the Bible's metaphors for itself, and it grew out of that for me, you know, looking at, you know, how God... You know, what God wants the Bible to be for us, all the beautiful pictures that he paints of his word, you know, and what he intends it to be for us. And I was trying to communicate that to my kids, and it's really, you know, very exciting. Or, you know, just picking out, you know, topical things and preparing even ourselves. There's something really nice about... even though there are so many gifted people out there and so many amazing resources, there's also something nice about, you know, showing your kids your own digging into the Word of God and you know, what you're excited about and working on things together and making those discoveries together. And I, you know, devotional books, again, something we are so, I think in like Luke and Liesl's lives as when young teenagers, they just ate up, you know, the stuff that we read out loud together, you know, Piper's Don't Waste Your Life, you know, right now we're really, really enjoying Christ in the Psalms. It's not by somebody in our church background, but it's a really, really rich and wonderful, you know, there's lots of books on some on younger levels that little kids, like the names of gods, God that you saw out there, a lot of those were out on the display tables. But, you know, taking the time to read aloud together. We talked about reading before as a way of developing our children's minds, but it's also a way of developing their souls and, you know, letting them take advantage of all the fantastic books that are out there for them, reading and discussing together. And then biographies. You know, Hebrews 13:7 says, "Remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith." And, you know, if we want our kids to be able to obey this, you know, this idea of looking at other people's lives who have walked by faith, who have really followed Christ and look at the outcome of their life, you know, then we need to let them be familiar with, you know, with Christians of the past and give them godly heroes. And there are, you know, tons of wonderful resources. Was that, were you sharing biographies with me before? Yeah. Yeah. Right. Okay. And the, you know, the last thing is just letting the kids see you meeting with God yourself. You know, our own example and the examples of the older kids in your home to the younger ones. You know, it really is. Kids always want to imitate, and it's. If they see that this is, hey, this is what you do, this is how you grow up, this is life, it gives them a hunger to follow in these kind of ways. So anyway, I finished today, and I'm happy. Okay. Heavenly Father, help us to know that you are the one who is the potter, God. We ourselves are clay and our children. What comfort to know that you will complete the good work you have begun in our children. Help us, God, to get on our knees, to spend time praying and talking to you and claiming the wonderful promises you have offered. Thank you, God. Thank you for letting us share and have a little role in raising our precious children. In Jesus' name, amen.